ברשות ראש כולל, דיינים, רבנים חשובים, קהל קדוש. I don't think it's a coincidence that you chose this week in order to dedicate yourself to law and order and justice, being that we just finished reading Parashat Shofetim. It is the basis of Shofetim v'Shoterim, judges and enforcement. And then the Torah tells us that Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, that we have an obligation to pursue justice and pursue righteousness. And the Gemara Sanhedrin questions the double language, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, where the Gemara says, Halach Ahar Bedin Yafeh, that if you have a choice between two Bate Dinim, and one has a little more expert judges, they're more fluent in the halakha, and the other one is a little more novice, a little more amateuristic, they're both legitimate, but you have an obligation to seek not just tzedek, but tzedek tzedek, creme de la creme. You have to choose the tzedek plus. That's the way the Gemara learns it, but it's well known what the Chedushei Harim said on this pasuk. There's an old debate amongst the philosophers about ends and means. And the question, of course, is, does the end justify the means? People have, you know, very, very noble ends, great things they want to accomplish. So the question is, at what expense to get there? Do we say that the ends justify the means? And therefore, if the end is good, doesn't matter how you get there, just get there, and there might be some casualties, and you might have to make some compromises, you might have to do some things that are a little improper, but for the greater good, ultimately, society will benefit in the long term. So therefore, even though there's some minor infractions and minor compromises and you might have to make some misdeeds, but for the greater good, all's well that ends well, as they say. That's one side. So the question is, what do we believe in? Well, we know what the communists believe. Let's talk about them for a second. When we were young, they used to read us stories before we went to sleep at night. Not too sure who decided that these stories were appropriate for children to read before they went to sleep, about bears stealing porridge and things like that. I don't know exactly how appropriate that is, before the kids go to sleep, to scare them and tell them about criminals. But they told us a story about Robin Hood. Now, it's an old story, and they said how Robin Hood would steal from the rich in order to give to the poor. Now, they were trying to say, he's a hero in American culture, Robin Hood, because the rich have so much money anyway, and the poor doesn't have anything. And you think the rich guy is going to make a difference if you take a few hundred bucks from him? It's not going to change his lifestyle, but 100 bucks is going to make the poor man happy. And therefore, they were trying to say in Robin Hood world that the ends justify the means, and therefore he was right. And I have no doubt that this was the communist's way of getting into the American children's brain. So you read them because Robin Hood's a communist, because it's division of wealth. Make everybody the same and take from the rich, give to the poor, division of wealth. And therefore, this was a way to brainwash the children into thinking that democracy is not as good as communism. And that's what the Russians believed, and therefore they killed over 50 million of their own people, believing that it's justified because ultimately it'll bring the world to a panacea and a better place. So yes, if you ask a Russian or a communist, they'll tell you, all we care about is ends. And one of them said, in a mashal, you have to crack the egg to get to the egg. So therefore, you have to crack the shell. So therefore, we have to crack a lot of eggs. But ultimately, you'll get to the egg. What is the Torah's opinion? The Torah's opinion is that while ends are very important, means are just as important. And the Torah does not allow us to compromise any of the halakha, even if it's going to bring to greater good. And I'll just give you a famous text from Rashi, from Yaakov Avinu, not in the context of business, but in the context of morals and right and wrong. So Yaakov Avinu, alav shalom, comes to, and he's the Ish Emet, Yaakov Avinu comes to the Har HaBayit, and Bayalin Sham, he goes to sleep, Kibah HaShemesh, because the sun set prematurely, and he has the dream, the Sulam, and this dream over here was a revelation. It wasn't a dream, it was a revelation of everything that's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, and he saw everything, you know, with tremendous, tremendous clarity. He wakes up from the dream. I would have woke up, I would have said, Bekata Gomer, this is, what is Echut? Give thanks to God for such a revelation. Achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. He says, yes, indeed. God is in this place. Baruchi lo yadachti. I didn't realize the concentration of godliness in this place. Rashi says, Ve'ilu she'ilu yadachti lo yashanti. If I would have known, I wouldn't have went to sleep. Now Yaakov Avinu is teaching us a lesson here. That means I would have been willing to be mevater the entire nevuah and the entire revelation and the entire devekut that I received from this dream, which is a tremendous end. But to get there, I would have to transgress a halacha and Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to sleep in a Bet Knesset. You're not allowed to sleep in a Makom Kadosh. Now I would have said, well, let's put it on the scale. The dream against a technical foul. It's a misdemeanor. It's not a federal crime. I mean, the guy falls asleep in the Bet Knesset. It's okay. That's not the biggest. You still give the guy an aliyah. I mean, you're not going to. By the way, when we ask you for shidduchim, you don't say, does he sleep in the bed? Did he ever fall asleep in the Bet Knesset? No, the guy's. It's not something that. It's a small infraction, but it's Shulchan Aruch. Yaakov Abinu says, if I would have known from the onset that I have to sleep in this place, which is a. Against halakha, but on the other side, I would get this prophecy, ilu liyadati lo yashanti. Because the ends don't justify the means. And even if the means are very, very minimal in their infraction, it does not justify even the greatest of results. I learned with a rabbi, Rav Chaim Weintraub, alav hashalom, who was a Talmid of Aharon Kotel. Rav Chaim always used to tell us, he says, Eliyahu, you're going to become a Rav. And they're always going to throw things at you. And you're always going to be driven and motivated to do good things. But you always have to ask yourself, not how much good is going to come out, how much bad is going to come out. He says, that's where you have to catch yourself. Because we get blinded by good. We get blinded by creating and doing and accomplishing. But we don't realize that the over-anxiousness to do good blinds us sometimes from the bad that's going to come out. So we have to look at the both sides, not only the end, that we have to focus on means. And that's what the Chiddush Harim says on the Pasuk. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof is coming to tell us that not only do you have to pursue tzedek, which is the end, but tzedek, the pursuit of tzedek must be in tzedek as well. The road to tzedek has to be paved in tzedek. Tzedek, tzedek. Don't only look at results, but how to get there. Well, once we understand this, I just want to bring to your attention a famous Harambam in Hilchot Sichirut. Especially for people that work, you must know this Rambam. It's mandatory. Perek Yud Gimal Pas Halakha Zayin. So the Baal HaBayit, the employer, has responsibilities. He's not allowed to steal from his workers. He cannot steal wages. Well, the employee obviously has responsibilities as well. So he writes, Kacha ani muzhar shelo yigzol melechet Baal HaBayit. So he's not allowed to steal from the work of the owner. V'yibatel me'at bekan u'me'at bekan. And he, wastes time. Arambam says he takes a little here, a little here. He's supposed to come at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, he shows up 9:05, 5 minutes. He's supposed to check out at 5 o'clock. He leaves a little earlier. And he's not stealing in big increments. Me'at kan, me'at kan. V'nimsa, kol hayom. Now, in our text over here, we have the word me'era, which means the whole day is in curse, me'era. But if you look at Shinui Nusha'ot, and I'm sure the Frankel has it corrected already, he changes it to mirma. Mirma means deception. U'motzi kol hayom b'me'era. Or b'mirma. Good. Then he comes along and he says, El hayav ledakdek al atzmo bezman. You have to be careful of this man. The worker in the olden days was exempt from making the fourth beracha berkat hamazon, even though the fourth beracha is a takana from Hakamim in Yavne, Hatov Hametiv, a very important beracha. The Mekubalim will tell you that the four berachot are connected to Shem Yud Kevavke. So you mehaser a letter of Hashem's name, Kiv Yaakov, according to the Kabbalists. Why? Because, listen, it's only with the Rabbanan at the end of the day, and get back to work. And then the Rambam, it sounds like over here, since it's the end of Sechirut, so Rambam just wants to throw everything in there. So he says, V'chen, like a P.S. I have one more thing to tell you. Hayav la'avod b'chol koho. You have to work with all your strength. Sha'arei Yaakov ha-tzadik. Yaakov the tzadik. Rosh Kolel made a proper diuk, I think. Yaakov ha-tzadik. You know, normally we don't preface... we don't give Yaakov the adjective tzaddik. That usually belongs to Yosef. And over here, the Rambam calls him Yaakov tzaddik. We'll see. Amar ki bechol kuchi avati et abichem. I worked for your father. He's telling his wives, I worked for your father Laban with all my energy. Lefichach natal sachar zot, and he got reward, and he became wealthy. Na'olam bazeh, and he got his reward as well. La'olam abba. Now this Rambam sounds very straightforward. However, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Alav Shalom, Rosh Hashiva Rav Adad, makes a very, very obvious diuk over here. He says, what's the Ani doing? He's stealing me'at mikan, u'me'at mikan. So then how could Rambam then say, v'nimsa kol hayom b'mirma? What do you mean kol hayom? It's not kol hayom. I mean, it's the 5 minutes that he stole in the morning, and it's the 5 minutes that he stole at the end of the day. I mean, between 9:05 and 4:30, he worked. So how could Harambam say a little here and a little there all of a sudden turns the entire day into mirma? It's a very strong question. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that this has to do with a culture of a person and a behavior and a lifestyle. He says, Harambam will tell you in a minute that part of the obligation of a worker is to work full time, full energy, and put your all into it. If a person already is not makpid on coming on time and leaving on time, and is able to already take from the balabayit during the course of the day, that already is an indication that even when he's working, he's not working full throttle. Nibsa kol hayom bimirma. That already is indicative of the nature of this guy. If he could steal a couple of minutes here, steal a couple of minutes there, and in the middle of the day go surfing and take from the zman over here, so that means he's not a loyal worker that's going to give kol koho to the job. This is megaleh on the other hours that he is present. And even when he's present, he is not doing it. So therefore, Harambam has to bring me Yaakov Avinu. When he brings vechen hayav la'avod bechol koho, that's not a P.S. That's germane to what he's talking about. He's saying the way you know if a person is oved bechol koho, if he's taking me'atkan u'me'atkan, and if he's taking me'atkan, you have a bigger problem, Harambam is telling you. You don't only have a problem between 9:05, 9 to 9:05, and 4:30 to 5 o'clock. You don't only have a problem of 35 minutes during the day. Your problem is the entire day, because you're obligated to work bechol koho the entire day. And if you're stealing increments of time from a me'at me'at, you're in contempt the entire day. Nimsa kol hayom b'mirma. And I'll conclude, and here's where we have the chance, because we're religious, you know, Baalei Batim, and therefore it's very easy for us to justify why we came 9:05. Because it was a hard daf. And you know, listen, some we know it, some of the dafim are harder than the others. And it's not always a 60-minute shiur. Sometimes the shiur goes over time. So it wasn't like I was, I slept late, or I was fooling around, or reading the newspaper. You know, I had to finish the daf. So you walk in, you think you're considered the Gadol Ador, and I'm late today, but I have a good excuse. Well, you have to leave early. Of course you have to leave early. There's always a Jewish holiday coming. There's always an Erev. There's always an Isru Chag. There's always a wedding. And these are all mitzvot. And it's very, very easy to rationalize that I'm doing God's business over here. And that's when we go back to ends and means. Tzedek, tzedek. You might have an end. I have to learn. It's a good end. I have to keep Shabbat. I have to keep Yom Tov. I have a wedding. I have Chesed. But to get to that end, if it means you have to steal from the Baal HaBayit, then already one has to make great analysis. One has to think 100 times over. And that's where we're tempted. We're not tempted just to take off a day to go surfing. No, that's not our Yetzer Hara. Our Yetzer Hara is to take off a day to do something that's good. And I think that's why the Rambam refers to Yaakov Abinu as Yaakov HaTzadik. Because if anybody had a good rationalization, it's Yaakov. I mean, he's working for a crook. He's working for a Ramai. I mean, they nicknamed him Labana Arami. The guy's a Ramai. And Yaakov Abinu is the man of Torah. So if anybody could justify why I could take a couple of minutes here to learn, working for the crook, he doesn't even pay me, and all the different, machinations that you could make up, why it's okay. But Yaakov Abinu is teaching us tzedek, tzedek. And that's why he's called the tzaddik, because he mastered the concept of tzedek, of justice. Here we're not referring to Yaakov Abinu in the sense of Torah, or the sense of his other midot that Yaakov represents, Tiferet in the Kabbalah. But here we're referring to Yaakov Abinu's measure of tzaddik. Tzaddik is somebody that is committed and is loyal to the pursuit of tzaddik. And therefore, Yaakov Abinu, even though he worked for somebody that was, as such, he still worked properly. Bechol kohonat should give us a great, great musar, that our time is of the essence, and we shouldn't be blinded by the greater good. And I conclude with the story that they asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Somebody once said, I think it was a Purim day, fell out during the week, and called Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and the guy said, can I call in sick? He wants to take off the day Purim. I mean, he's not sick, but he wants to call in sick. He said, but you're not sick. He said, I know, but I get a couple of sick days, so I just call in sick. He says, no, you shouldn't call in sick. But what am I going to do with the Seudat Purim? He says, make a bologna sandwich, bring a can of beer, and go, that's a Seudat Purim. By your desk. Now, we wouldn't expect, if they were to call us, oh, for sure. Yeah, you have to lie. I mean, lying against Purim? I mean, Purim is Purim. They're going to give you Purim. And it's a white lie. And guess what? Everybody does it. And there's always Kippur. You can whitewash that one away, but you can't wash away your Purim. And therefore, we could figure out 101 ways to get this guy to take off. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was pashut to him. Where did it say you have to take off and work on Purim? If the boss doesn't give you off, so bring your Seudat to the desk, eat it, make Birkat Mazon, and go back to work. And that's it's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of thinking. And that's really the lesson. Ilu yadati lo yashanti. Yaakov said, if I would have known it's a holy place, I wouldn't have went to sleep in the first place, and I wouldn't have given up everything.